If you ever feel like you're just drowning in policy jargon, in all this financial news, but you've only got a few minutes to get what really matters, well, you are in exactly the right place. We take all that source material, the legal rulings, the industry warnings, all the policy docs, and we just cut straight through the noise. And our mission today is a deep dive, a really critical one. It's about a shift that's impacting the very heart of the UK's flexible economy. We're talking about how business rates are being assessed for serviced offices and co-working spaces. And look, we are not talking about a small tweak in tax percentages here. This is an abrupt, really fundamental reclassification of property itself. It was started by the government's Valuation Office Agency, the VOA.
Uh-huh.
And this pivot, it has put thousands and thousands of small businesses at risk.
It's challenging the entire commercial viability of the sector.
Exactly.
And to really understand the stakes, you have to get your head around the main concept, which is business rates. It's basically a property tax. It's levied on non-domestic properties here in the UK. Historically, the way flexible office centers worked allowed the small businesses renting space inside to get these really vital tax advantages.
And now that's gone.
The VOA's move has just completely dismantled that structure. It feels like it happened overnight. So we're going to unpack the specific legal and financial mechanism that's driving all this chaos.
And it is chaos. We are talking about genuine economic disruption here. This isn't just about some bureaucratic rule change. It affects where people can work, how startups can even hope to grow, and whether, 150,000 small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, can actually afford to keep their doors open.
That's the number, yep.
So let's start with the legal definition that's causing all the turmoil, because that really is the crucial pivot point. In the old system, serviced office operators would structure their agreements so that, so when a small business rented a unit, that individual unit could be seen as a separate entity for tax.
Right. And that was key.
Why was that so important?
Because it allowed those smaller areas to qualify for a lifeline. It's known as Small Business Rates Relief, or SBRR.
And that SBRR is often the difference between a successful first year and bankruptcy for a startup. It's that serious.
It is that serious. The old system recognized these small self-contained units as separate hereditaments.
Okay, there's the jargon. What's a hereditament?
It's just the technical legal term for a unit of property that can be assessed for tax. So if you have a hereditament with a low rateable value, you qualify for that relief. But the VOA has started treating the entire flexible workspace building, it doesn't matter how many separate businesses are inside, as a single hereditament.
So wait, instead of having, say, 60 individual low-value units that all get tax relief, you suddenly have one massive building. The rateable value skyrockets, and that immediately disqualifies everyone inside from getting any relief at all.
That's it. And
that is a huge shift. But what's the legal justification? How can the VOA just decide to see one building instead of 60 different businesses?
It all comes down to the contract. The nature of the contract between the workspace operator and the tenant. This is really the heart of the legal fight. The VOA is essentially arguing that these co-working agreements, they aren't genuine leases. They don't grant the small business exclusive possession of a space. They're licenses for services.
Okay, explain that distinction for us. Exclusive possession. What does that actually mean here?
Well, think about the difference between, say, renting an apartment and joining a gym. If you rent an apartment, you have exclusive possession. You have the key, you control the lock, you decide who comes in.
Landlord can't just move you to a different apartment on a whim.
Exactly, that's a lease.
Right.
And that usually creates a separate hereditament. But a serviced office is different. It's packed with services, right? Reception, cleaning, IT, shared kitchens. The operator often keeps the right to move the tenant or to enter the space freely for maintenance or substitute services.
So they have more control.
A lot more control. And the VOA is looking at this high level of operator control and all the services and saying, because the operator retains so much control, the small business doesn't have true exclusive possession. Therefore, the only true rateable occupier, the only hereditament, is the building owner or the operator.
It's an interpretation that pushes the whole model much closer to being like a gym membership or a hotel stay for tax purposes.
Precisely.
And the operators are, they're completely unified in saying this is just a fundamental misinterpretation of their business. The VOA is citing developments in case law, specifically a case called Prosser v. Ricketts 2024, as the trigger for all this. So why are the operators arguing that case just doesn't apply?
Because they argued the specific facts and the contracts in Prosovir Ricketts were highly specialized. They just don't reflect the standard agreements they use every single day with hundreds of thousands of businesses. They believe the VOA is applying a very niche legal ruling about one specific property situation to an entire dynamic sector. It's like, I don't know, using a scalpel to try and cut down a forest.
A fundamental misunderstanding.
That's what they claim, yes, that the VOA just doesn't get the modern flexible workspace model, which is designed to provide both flexibility and dedicated space.
Okay, so if that's the legal mechanism, this whole dispute over what's a taxable unit, let's pivot to the practical fallout. You know, here's where it gets really interesting. We said the costs skyrocket, but just how bad is the immediate financial pain for these 150,000 businesses and the operators that support them?
The financial math is... it's brutal. When the VOA reclassifies 60 small units into one giant property, the overall rateable value just jumps. It goes way past the threshold for small business rates relief. And this means the operator is suddenly facing exponentially higher property tax bills. And those costs, I mean, they have to be passed down to the SMEs. There's no other way.
And Jane Sarton, she's the executive director of the Flexible Space Association, FlexSA. She's given a really stark, quantifiable warning about this exact risk, hasn't she?
Absolutely. FlexSA estimates that over 150,000 small and medium-sized enterprises could potentially lose the rate reliefs they currently depend on just to stay operational.
That's huge.
It is. Imagine you're a small graphic design firm, maybe in Manchester. You're paying, say, £1,000 a month for your space, and you're getting 100% relief on your business rates.
So you pay nothing in rates.
Correct. Suddenly that relief just vanishes, and you have to absorb thousands of pounds in unexpected costs every year. For a small business on slim margins, that's it. That can mean immediate failure.
And if losing future relief wasn't scary enough, the most destabilizing factor here is the whole issue of retroactive charges.
Oh, this is the real shock.
This isn't just a tax hike going forward. Some operators are getting backdated tax bills as high as £400,000.
Yeah.
How is the VOA even allowed to apply this retrospectively?
This is where the legal interpretation gets really, really thorny. The VOA isn't just changing the rules for today. They're effectively saying their new interpretation of the law.
Means it was always the law.
Exactly. They're saying the property should always have been rated as a single entity, maybe for the last few years. So if they decide the previous lower valuation was incorrect based on their new reading of the law, they are legally entitled to backdate the assessment.
And demand the tax difference immediately.
Immediate.
That retroactive shock is just, it's truly alarming. We're hearing reports of operators, you know, still recovering from the pandemic, suddenly being handed a six-figure tax bill for years that are already over.
It creates an existential debt. FlexA has been unequivocal on this. They've stated, this reclassification is already putting the future of many workspaces across the country in jeopardy. It forces some operators into this impossible choice, either absorb massive unexpected debt or shut down.
Which means hundreds of the small businesses they house are suddenly immediately looking for a new place to work. So let's step back for a second and look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The scale of the ecosystem we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't some tiny niche industry.
Not at all.
The UK has over 4,000 flexible workspaces. They are the essential infrastructure for freelancers, for startups, for bigger companies testing new markets. They provide the agility that a modern hybrid economy needs.
Precisely. And that's where the systemic risk becomes just undeniable. If a significant number of these workspaces start to fail because the tax burden makes them commercially impossible, the consequences ripple out.
What does that look like?
Well, first you get reduced workspace availability. That immediately stifles entrepreneurial activity. When startups can't find affordable, flexible space, they either don't start or they stay home-based for longer, which can hinder their growth.
And the impact isn't just on the business park, is it? These spaces are often central to local economies. The National Enterprise Network has warned that if these tax liabilities aren't sorted, we could see widespread business failures.
Which translates directly to less foot traffic, you know, reduced vitality in the local high streets where these offices are often located.
It really highlights this core tension. You have a tax system, the business rate system that was designed for, what, the rigid office blocks of the 20th century.
Mm.
And it's trying to cope with this hyper-flexible, service-heavy business model of the 21st century, and it's just not working.
It's a system that's struggling to keep up with reality.
And that tension has definitely led to a unified, pretty powerful industry response, We know that more than 60 operators of these spaces, representing over 27,000 businesses, wrote a joint letter to the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves.
Expressing urgent and deeply serious concern, I believe was the phrase.
It was.
And that level of unity is so crucial. It signals that this isn't just a few companies complaining. This is a foundational sector raising the alarm. And you're also seeing experts from outside the flexible space world weighing in, which validates the concern. Tim Attridge from CBRE, for example, has suggested that the business rate system itself is just outdated. It's ill-equipped for modern property types.
So what's his recommendation?
His strong recommendation is for the VOA to just pause these reclassifications. Hit the brakes until the whole valuation basis can be clarified, maybe through litigation that's specifically aimed at the flexible workspace model.
Which sounds like a very sensible cooling off period.
Yeah.
But the VOA is holding firm on its legal mandate. What's their official line amid all this outcry?
Well, the VOA has acknowledged the need for a review, but they maintain that case law developments require them to do this. They've confirmed many offices may now be treated as a single property. They keep stressing that their obligation is to apply the law based on the specific contractual facts of each case.
So in short, they're saying our hands are tied.
Pretty much. They're saying if your contract looks like a service license, we are legally bound to rate the whole building. It doesn't matter what the commercial outcome is.
Which means the entire industry is now facing the prospect of this long, expensive legal battle fought property by property, contract by contract.
Yes, and that's a process that could financially drain many operators before a final clarifying legal ruling is even reached.
So what does this all mean? Let's try and wrap this up. We've got the VOA justifying a dramatic unconsulted tax change.
Right.
It's driven by an interpretation of case law that the industry says just fundamentally misrepresents their business model.
Mm.
And the result is this looming financial crisis that threatens the very infrastructure supporting over 150,000 small businesses.
It's a textbook example of regulatory action accidentally stifling dynamic economic activity. I mean, these property taxes, they fundamentally influence the cost and availability of space for startups, for flexible work.
Which are huge drivers of modern commerce.
Undisputed drivers. And now the financial health of the workspace operator is the direct hinge upon which the survival of all the SMEs inside that space depends.
It all hangs on clarifying this legal interpretation, this idea of possession versus service. And that brings us to our final thought for you to consider, building on the precedent this whole situation sets. If the VOA can successfully argue that contractual arrangements, ones that offer high services and limit that exclusive possession, can transform dozens of small units into one large, highly rateable property, what does that mean for other sectors?
That's the big question.
Think about the rise of hybrid property models. Short-term rental buildings that operate a bit like hotels.
Yeah.
Or pop-up retail spaces that blend traditional leases with a huge amount of service provision.
The vulnerability is exactly the same. The common thread here is the use of a flexible service contract. A contract that deliberately avoids granting tenants that clear-cut exclusive possession that has traditionally defined a separate property unit for tax.
So this isn't just about co-working.
Not at all. This serviced office reclassification could be setting a far-reaching precedent. It suggests the VOA is now actively using the exclusive possession test as the sharp edge of the law.
To do what, exactly?
To significantly redefine what constitutes a taxable property in our modern service-driven economy. And that is a powerful precedent that could end up impacting every single corner of commercial property.